This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Siete a las nueve o a la una de la tarde se tienen que entregar las aplicaciones en el 20210 Southwest Teton Avenida in Portland, Oregon. All right, sounds good. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye. Okay, sorry for that interruption. So we can go ahead and get started. So Paul, you've been doing work with VOS. What exactly is VOS for people that don't know out there? ¿Qué es VOS?
Of course. So VOS, and before getting further, make sure it's done in Apricomim. It means voice in Spanish. So it's VOS, Workers' Rights Education Project. The mission of VOS is to be a worker-led organization that empowers day laborers and immigrant workers to gain control of the working conditions. And that's through leadership development, community organizing, and education.
Mm-hmm.
And VOS grew out of the Workers Organizing Committee that some people might remember a few years back that helped to organize hotel workers and others. Also, it was organizing day laborers on the corners. And then St. Francis Catholic Church Southeast Portland took up the work and formed a committee, which they called VOS, which worked for several years. And finally, in 2008, VOS became independent of St. Francis and formed its own nonprofit. So VOS is a member of the National Day Labor Organizing Network, which has close to 50 affiliates across the country. It's an organization that intersects workers' rights with immigrant rights. So we work on both those levels. And this year, I can point out that we've worked on the state level to change laws to make it easier for a victim of wage theft to respond, to collect, to complain. We've also worked to change the relationship between the sheriff of Multnomah County and the immigration authorities. So
great.
That's been a good thing. And then, of course, we're working on immigration reform this year. En español, pues la misión de VOS es ser una organización liderada por jornaleros, por trabajadores, pues empoderando a los jornaleros, a los trabajadores inmigrantes para agarrar el control de sus condiciones de empleo.
Mm-hmm.
Y eso es a través del desarrollo del liderazgo, a través del desarrollo comunitario y de educación.
Mm-hmm.
Y entonces estamos trabajando tanto en los derechos de los trabajadores y en los derechos de los migrantes. Empezamos, somos los descendientes de la organización WOC, que en un tiempo estaba trabajando, organizando a los jornaleros en las esquinas. De ahí, la Iglesia Católica San Francis, en sureste de Portland, empezó a trabajar también con los jornaleros en las esquinas, y ellos fueron los que pusieron el nombre VOS al proyecto. Y a partir de 2008, ya VOS es una organización independiente con su propio registro. Somos parte de la red nacional Endelon, la red nacional de jornaleros y jornaleras, que tenemos filiales, pues casi 50 filiales en todo el país. Este año, por ejemplo, hemos estado trabajando tanto por el lado de los trabajadores, estamos luchando en Salem para cambiar las leyes para que las víctimas de robo de salarios puedan reclamar mejor lo que les deben. También hemos trabajado por el lado de la migración, por supuesto con la reforma migratoria que está en juego este año, estamos luchando en eso. También a nivel local, con el alguacil, el sheriff de Multnomah County, para que deje de colaborar tan de cerca con la migra. Ese es un ejemplo de lo que hacemos.
Perfecto. Es trabajo muy importante. Creo que en la comunidad, y especialmente con la inmigración, reforma migratoria, que pues ojalá esté muy cerca. Okay. Pues adelante. ¿Cómo surgió el Centro de Trabajadores? So how did the Worker Center come to be?
Exactly. So as part of VOS' work on the street corners with day laborers have traditionally gathered for 40 years or so, it's working on the with the day laborers and talking about what issues they're facing. It became very clear early on that the being on the corners looking for work, waiting for work is very difficult. There's conflicts. I mentioned that the wage theft, that's very common on the street corners, employers that take advantage of the day laborers and don't pay them. There's also discrimination against folks on the corners. There's been some violence. Mm. At that time, back in the 90s and 80s, there were immigration raids on the corners. Mm. There were conflicts with the police and with the local businesses, having people out in the front of their businesses. And, of course, being out in the elements in the snow and the rain was a common thing. And so as Vos staff volunteers worked with the day laborers on the corners, a dream emerged, a dream to have a place where day laborers could call their own, a place where they could be safe out of the elements, and where there could be an opportunity for a relationship of respect, of mutual respect between day laborers and employers, where there could be a place where employers could come in and get a day laborer, and it could be an orderly process instead of the process that frequently happens on the corners. And so we built on this dream, and we talked about this dream to other folks in the community, with community organizations, with faith communities, with some union folks, and we built support for the idea of having a worker center. And then it coincided that some of the business people were complaining to the mayor about folks out in the streets, which aren't just day laborers, but of all types of folks in the streets. And so the mayor at that time, Tom Potter, formed what he called the SAFE Initiative, Street Access for Everyone, and invited Vos, in this case Romeo Celsar, director, to take part in the team that was looking at options to respond to the issues on the streets. And so Romeo, with the day laborers, proposed a worker center as a part of the response to the problems on the streets. And the SAFE initiative took that on and decided to fund a worker center and found a location, a city property, for the worker center to open on, and set out to find who would operate the center, and chose Vos to operate the worker center. And gave Vos some startup funds to build temporary structures and start up operations. So it was a community initiative with day labor involvement, and then the city also coming in and supporting at the end.
Right, right. Okay, great. Yeah, I don't know if you want to go through that in Spanish.
Claro que sí.
It's really important. It sounds like you had a lot of support.
Mm-hmm. Sí, entonces, pues imagínense, en las esquinas donde los jornaleros esperan el trabajo, pues hay muchos problemas, hay muchos conflictos. Uno, estando ahí parado, está pues muy expuesto a los abusos de los patrones, a la discriminación, a la violencia. En ese entonces había redadas de inmigración, a los conflictos con la policía, con los negociantes, comerciantes en la zona, pues, y claro, a la nieve, a la lluvia, todo el clima que está allá afuera. Y entonces, trabajando con los jornaleros, organizándolos, escuchándolos, pues la gente de Vos se dio cuenta, pues, que hacía falta un cambio. Y los mismos jornaleros, pues, iban hablando de un sueño de tener un lugar propio donde, pues, podía tener esa seguridad, donde no los molestaba nadie, donde podían recibir a los patrones en un ambiente de respeto mutuo, donde pues podían inclusive organizarse mejor y tener un proceso más digno, más organizado para despachar a los trabajadores. Y entonces nació la idea de un centro, y coincidió que la ciudad en ese entonces también estaba lidiando con quejas de comerciantes y otros sobre tanta gente que había en las calles, no solamente jornaleros, y que la problemática de las calles en general. Y se formó un equipo desde el alcalde de ese entonces, Tom Potter, para poder responder a esa problemática de la calle. Y se invitó a los de Vos a participar en los diálogos para resolver eso. Y justamente surgió de ahí también que un centro de trabajadores podía ser una parte de la solución. Y entonces se buscó dinero, y se buscó pues quién podía administrar un centro así. Se escogió a Vos como organización para administrar el centro, y la misma ciudad encontró dinero para la construcción de los edificios provisionales que tenemos ahora y para la administración del centro.
Perfecto. ¿Y eso cuándo fue? Se me olvidó preguntar.
Perdón, el día 16 de junio del 2008. Ya van a ser 5 años que se inauguró el centro, sí.
So I asked, you know, when was that? Well, I completely forgot to ask what
so
date.
So the center was inaugurated on June 16th, 2008.
Awesome.
So it's been almost 5 years.
Yeah. Okay, great. So what is the Worker Center? ¿Qué es el centro?
Right. So you can imagine a place similar to a union hiring hall, mm-hmm. where workers are there waiting to be chosen to work, and there's an organized way to do that, and an employer comes in and asks for a particular type of experience and the workers assigned to the employer. Se puede imaginar como un sindicato, ¿no? Donde el patrón llega buscando a alguien con alguna experiencia y capacidad y se le asigna un trabajador que podía llevar a cabo ese trabajo. Mm-hmm. And so I'll take advantage of the opportunity to invite mm-hmm. our listeners to also who want to hire somebody. Mm-hmm. It's very easy. It's like hiring your next door neighbor to cut your lawn. It's just it's a very organized and respectful way. You come into the center or you call in. The number is 503-234-2043. And we're open from 7 to 2 Monday through Saturday. And you can hire folks for general labor, for gardening, yard work, for moving, for low-skilled construction work. And we also have some fairly skilled people, right. And depending on the need. Entonces, también puedo invitar a los que quieren contratar algún trabajador, pues pueden llegar a nuestra dirección, es 240 de Northeast MLK. Our address is 240 Northeast MLK, corner of Everett, con la esquina de Everett. Y pueden hablar por teléfono también al 503-234-2043 y pedir un trabajador. Puede ser para jardinería, puede ser para mudanza, puede ser para una construcción básica, pues una construcción básica. Mm-hmm. Y hay gente con muchas capacidades, depende de lo que uno pide, pues. So, at the center, when people are waiting for work, there's an opportunity to do other things. And one of the things is we have an activity of recovering stolen wages. So folks from the corners, especially, because at the Worker Center, we haven't had a whole lot of problem with stolen wages.
Good.
So from the corners, people come in and ask for help to recover stolen wages. And we have a team that works on that. And we also have all kinds of leadership opportunities for the day laborers and leadership development. Mm-hmm. We have English classes. We have art classes. We have advanced skill trainings so that where we pair up the language skills to do a job with the technical skills to do a job. Mm-hmm. And so we teach landscaping and such. And we have monthly assemblies where the day laborers come together and talk about what concerns them and make decisions about how mm-hmm. to improve the way the center operates. And we have leadership school where we build leadership among day laborers for the movement. And we have a day laborer committee elected by their peers, which is part of the board of directors of VOS. Entonces, mientras la gente está esperando la posibilidad de trabajar, pues hay otras cosas que hacer, ¿no? Tenemos un programa para recuperar salarios robados. Ahí en el centro casi no pasa eso, pero en las esquinas todavía pasa. Entonces, la gente de las esquinas viene al centro a pedir ayuda para recuperar sus salarios robados. Se les apoya para eso. Aparte, hay clases de inglés, clases de arte. Cada mes hay una asamblea mensual de todos los jornaleros donde se discute lo que interesa a los jornaleros, los problemas que surgen, se toman decisiones sobre el mejoramiento del centro de jornaleros y hay escuela de liderazgo para construir el liderazgo del movimiento de los jornaleros y hay también los compañeros jornaleros eligen su comité de jornaleros cada año que representa a los jornaleros y ese comité es parte de la mesa directiva de VOS.
Okay, perfect. So son más bien programas vitales importantes para nuestra gente que tiene la capacidad, tiene el entendimiento de cosas más afuera del trabajo, ¿no? De temas laborales.
Claro que sí.
So what I just said was that I think this is important, extremely important programs and activities for people that are highly skilled, highly intelligent, and have a greater scope and understanding of the world outside of work and labor, right? But it seems like there's something going on right now, sí. and I wanted to ask you, so what's going on right now with the center?
Right. So as I mentioned, the center is going to be 5 years old next month, and we have a 5-year lease with the city. And that will be up. And the city has offered us a renewal of the lease, but only to month to month. And they will tell us 6 months ahead of time if they want us to leave. And that's really not acceptable for us. We need to plan well ahead of time to be able to continue the center. And we would like, actually, to have a permanent home there at the site that we're at now. Entonces, lo que está pasando es que el contrato de renta que tenemos era de 5 años y se va a vencer. Y la ciudad ya nos está ofreciendo renovar el contrato, pero ya no como estaba, sino que de mes a mes, con una promesa de avisarnos 6 meses antes si nos van a sacar. Pero eso no es aceptable para nosotros. Queremos quedarnos ahí permanentemente, queremos que el centro sea un lugar permanente y queremos poder planear para el futuro. Hemos estado hablando con la ciudad, con los comisionados, con el alcalde. Hemos estado trabajando sobre un plan de negocios para demostrar lo que pensamos hacer con el terreno en el futuro. Y de hecho queremos construir edificios ya permanentes porque ahorita tenemos baños portátiles y tenemos todo en un espacio muy, muy reducido. Y hemos estado trabajando duro en el diseño también del centro nuevo. Hemos estado hablando con organizaciones comunitarias que nos apoyen para pedir su apoyo, para enviar cartas. Y hemos estado pidiendo a la ciudad 3 cosas. Uno, que cambien el nombre en el título de la propiedad a Voz, ¿no? Que pongan la propiedad en nombre de Voz. Dos, que, bueno, sí nos están dando dinero cada año a la ciudad, pero siempre es provisional, es de este año nada más. Entonces, quisiéramos que incluyan por fin al Centro de Jornaleros en el presupuesto ya permanente de la ciudad, demostrar un compromiso ya permanente. Y por último, queremos pedir que la ciudad nos proporcione ayuda técnica porque no sabemos de construcciones. Y todo lo que son los permisos de construcción y de eso, pues necesitamos ayuda para poder lidiar con todo eso y poder sacar adelante el centro.
Claro.
So, our lease is ending, as I've mentioned, and we're proposing that the city basically donate the property to Voss, put the property in Voss's name so that we can then actually build permanent structures on the property. Mm-hmm. We are in the process. We're almost done with our business plan and a provisional conceptual design that we're going to present to the city to show what we're planning to do with the property in the future. We've gone to speak with the commissioners and with the mayor about this. And we've been organizing and mobilizing our base as well as our ally communities to send letters in to the mayor. Tenemos el éxito reciente que nuevamente la ciudad, el alcalde nos incluyó en su presupuesto de este año que viene, 2013-2014, y estamos muy agradecidos por eso, aunque todavía no es permanente, pero nos muestra que todavía hay interés en apoyar al centro a pesar de las dificultades económicas de la ciudad. Our latest victory is that the mayor has included the Worker Center in his proposed budget for the 2013-2014 year, and we're thankful for that. Although it's not a permanent line item, we are thankful it shows there's some support from the city in spite of the budget difficulties. So that's where we are.
Cool. So, I mean, I would hope that people, you know, would kind of have some idea of why it's so important for the center to stay open. And es mi esperanza que los radioescuchas pues tengan una idea, ¿no?, de lo importante que es para que el centro se mantenga abierto, ¿no?
Claro que sí.
Y se mantenga abierto por las oportunidades que da. Pero quizás no, uno no tiene un buen entendimiento o quiere saber más. Paul, en tu opinión, ¿por qué es importante que el centro se mantenga, no? So why is it important for the center to stay open?
Right. So in the past 5 years, the Worker Center has become really a fixture in the community. There are fewer day laborers on the corners. Most day laborers come to the center now. There are fewer problems with local businesses. In fact, some businesses who opposed the center when it started are now supporting the center because they realize the advantages. In fact, some business people come and hire workers at the center. There have been upwards of 16,000 jobs generated from the workers' home. So that's employment for the city and economic support for the city. We've recovered at least $350,000 in stolen wages during that time. And every year, more people use this worker center. This year, I don't know if it's because of the good weather or what, but there's more work coming out of the center earlier in the year than ever before.
That's awesome.
So, you know, we're seeing the impact increasing. The community is becoming a community center. We have lots of community organizations that have used the space at the center to host events that include the workers, but also include other folks in the community. Our center itself holds cultural events every year. We have a Day of the Dead event and a Lady of Guadalupe event every year, and people come from outside the center to join in. There's community involvement. We do neighborhood cleanups, and we're part of different coalitions and different communities. So people are getting used to the center being there, and it's really important to continue that. You can imagine what would happen if the center were to close. Mm-hmm. People would go back to the corners. We would have more problems again with that we had before on the corners, with further abuses of workers, with more problems with merchants and businesses, with more problems maybe with the police. So the police have been very supportive of the center. We've had a great a partnership with the police with the center open. It could be a difficult situation again. And again, for employers, so many people, most of the folks that employ at the center are not big contractors. They're homeowners that need to fix up their houses. And they found the center to be a great place to go pick up workers, again, in a non-threatening atmosphere, a respectful atmosphere, where they know that they'll get somebody that will work hard, and they know that there's an organization behind those workers if anything comes up. And this could all go away if the center had to close. So we think that the community as a whole needs to come around and support the right. center and tell the mayor and the city council how important this is to the community.
Great. So we've got a little bit of time, and I don't know if you want to translate just a bit of that in Spanish.
Yes.
We can move on to, you know, some actions and what people can do.
Bien. Entonces, pues imagínense, el centro ya tiene 5 años y ha tenido impacto en la comunidad. Pues hay menos compañeros en las esquinas, hay más gente en el centro y también más patrones van al centro. Hay más trabajo cada año. Este año, no sé si es por el clima, pero hay más trabajo llegando al centro este año que antes. De hecho, en los 4 o 5 años que llevamos en el centro, se han generado más de 16,000 empleos. Claro, de corto plazo, pero empleos en fin. Entonces, eso ha ayudado a la economía en general de Portland. Okay. Llevamos más de $350,000 recuperados en salarios robados. Y se está volviendo un centro comunitario realmente. Muchos grupos, muchas organizaciones ocupan el centro para sus eventos comunitarios. El mismo centro tiene sus comunidades, sus actividades culturales cada año. El Día de los Muertos se celebra en el centro. El Día de Nuestro Señor de Guadalupe se celebra cada año. Y pues se está volviendo como un lugar en el centro, en la comunidad.
Perfecto. So, con los cuantos minutos que nos quedan, ¿qué es algo que puede hacer la gente para apoyar los esfuerzos del centro comunitario?
Sí.
Del centro laboral.
Sí. So, we need people to support the center. We have a petition going online now. You can go to our webpage, portlandvoz.org, or our Facebook page, portlandvoz, and there's a link to our online petition to the mayor to save the center. You can come to our meetings every Tuesday at noon at the Worker Center, where we're strategizing to save the center. You can send a letter of support to the mayor. You can show support at the upcoming budget hearing for the city, which is on this Thursday at the 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at Jackson Middle School at 10625 Southwest 35th.
Okay.
Entonces, para apoyar al centro, pueden firmar nuestra petición, que está en línea. Pueden ir a buscar en nuestra página de web de Voz, que es portlandvoz.org, o en la página de Facebook, Portland Voz. pueden llegar a las reuniones que tenemos cada martes a las 12 del día en el Centro de Jornaleros. Y ahí vamos sacando estrategias para mejorar nuestra campaña y para convencer al alcalde de por fin acceder nuestras demandas. Y pueden mandar cartas, llamadas al alcalde también. O pueden llegar a la audiencia que va a haber en este jueves.
Ok, perfecto. Pues creo que es muy importante todo el trabajo que están haciendo y muchas gracias a ti y a los otros organizadores y organizadoras que trabajan con vos, que trabajan con obreros. Muchas gracias, Paul. Thank you, Paul, and thanks for joining us tonight on 90.7 FM on your Labor Radio Collective in solidarity with all workers around the world. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
The time is 6:30, and you just listened to Labor Radio. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Southwest Washington Carpenters Local 156, whose goal is to organize workers, provide a safe work environment, ensure livable wages, and elevate the moral and social condition of its members. Information at ubc156.org. Up next is Prison Pipeline.
Sixty-five years ago this week, the Columbia River flooded into the largest public housing project in the U.S. at the time, leaving 18,000 black people homeless and changing race relations in Portland forever. On Friday, May 24th, from 8 a.m. to noon, KABU presents a special program on the Vanport Flood and racism in Portland, 65 years later. We'll feature historians and archived audio, as well as a discussion led by PSU professor and activist Walida Imarisha, asking why there's so few black people in Oregon. That's Friday, May 24th, from 8 a.m. to noon on KABU.
Understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Tonight with me are Jean Dentinger, manager of Multnomah County Diversion Courts, and a few participants of Mental Health Court, Matthew, Dale, and Chris. Welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jean, let's start with you. What is a diversion court, and how long have they been in Multnomah County?
A diversion court is a court that helps people to move through the criminal justice system successfully so that they can follow through with the directives of the court. Of mental health court, which is what we're talking about today, we work with people primarily that have already been adjudicated, which means they've already been convicted of whatever is going on.
And how long have diversion courts been in Multnomah County?
Multnomah County's mental health court has been open since June of 2008. We do have other diversion courts, such as drug courts or community court, which are another type of diversion court.
Jean, explain the difference between pre-sentencing and post-sentencing.
Pre-sentencing, first of all, is when somebody is asked to go through the court and or follow some certain directives, and then if they complete that, the charges are usually dismissed. The benefit to that is the individual does not end up having a record or having a conviction on their record. So there's a lot of incentive to follow through on what they need to do for the court. Post-adjudication or post-sentencing means you've been sentenced, you already have a charge on your record, and now you're on probation. That's either with the judge or with more formal probation. And in our mental health court, we primarily work with people who are already sentenced.
And how does the courtroom differ from a traditional courtroom?
Our mental health court differs in many, many ways. We're working with people who have mental illness from mild to severe. And we're looking for people who have are going to need assistance to move through the criminal justice system successfully. And usually the people that we want to focus on are people that, because of their mental illness, may not be successful in doing what the court needs, which means that they might end up back in jail for long periods of time, or they might end up in the hospital. So our job is to help keep people out of jail. What we have in our courtroom are what we call our court team. And on that team is the judge, the public defender, the DA. We have a parole probation officer. And, of course, our court monitors are there. And so the team works very closely in monitoring what's going on and talking about what's happening with each person, and gives input into doing, you know, what we can to have at least restrictive options for them so they can stay out in the community and still fulfill the directives of the court, which means we'll look at what is it that this person's going to need. Are they going to need housing? Are they going to need help with getting ID? Are they going to need help accessing mental health treatment or drug and alcohol treatment? And they're there the entire time that we're doing mental health court. There's a lot more interaction. Each participant gets to come up and has time to talk with a judge one-on-one and can express what's going on with them, anything they may want. We ask people, we have different phases in mental health court. So when somebody comes in, phase one is when they come in every other week to court and they see their court monitor every other week. But when they come to court, they need to stay the whole hour. And when you move to phase two, you come to court once a month, you see your court monitor once a month, and then when you come to court, you get to be called first and get to leave right away, versus the phase one people, they come and they stay for the whole hour. And part of this is because we want people to hear what's going on, see what's going on, and feel a little bit more a camaraderie and connection to us, because we're not there just to check people in and out. We really are invested in what's going on, and we would hope we have other people that are there. They're invested also.
So you mentioned the DA, you mentioned the judge, you mentioned court monitors. What other agencies are involved with this whole mental health court system?
Public defenders also.